Have you ever tasted the Holy Spirit before? Were you tasting a little bit right then?
Yes.
You know, that song is called Holy Spirit. And it's by a man and his wife named Brian and Katie Torwalt. I encourage you here. I don't know how you spend your quiet time with the Lord, or even if you do spend quiet time with the Lord, but I encourage you to download that song. Cost you a buck. Download that song, find you a quiet place, and just put it on and just let it play, and just loop it, and just let it play, and just ask the Lord to come and stir your heart, to speak to your heart. You know, sometimes we think prayer is just about us telling God our Santa list. Don't we think prayer sometimes is that way? Just like, I've got my list, Lord, let me work through these bullet points here right quick. But prayer is a two-way conversation. And sometimes it's just, I don't know, it's just a really awesome thing to just to be in the presence of the Lord and just letting him begin to speak to your heart. And I encourage you to try that this week. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 25. We're working our way through Psalms, not the whole book, but a few of the Psalms this summer. Psalms 25. Now, as you're turning there, let me say this: if you're visiting with us this morning, there is a blue card in front of you in the chair in front of you, and it's got some information there that you, some different boxes you can check and some different information you can leave with us. If you don't want to leave us your information, that's okay. We bless you to be able to do that. But we want to be a loving, engaging church. We want to know you were here. We want you to know that we noticed you were here. We want you to know that we care that you were here. And we would like to reach out to you. We're not going to stalk you or try to put the Amway sale on you or any of that kind of stuff. But we just would like to know that you were here if you're willing to tell us that. So you can just fill out that blue card and give us whatever information you'd like for us to have. And just you can leave that in your seat there and we'll collect those. And we will be getting in touch with you just to say hey. So glad that you're here this morning. Psalms 25, I'm going to talk a little bit more. This is another psalm that has a very special significance to me these last few years, and I'll get more into that in just a minute. But I'm just going to read a few verses from this, and so I'll kind of bounce around just a little bit. We're going to start in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Now skip down to verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Verse 12. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we have sung it and we have prayed it, and we know that you are here. We pray that you would come and you would speak in power and authority. And Holy Spirit, that's the only way you speak. When you speak, it is with power and it is with authority. And so we ask you to come and speak, and we ask you to stir our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, continuing the series, Summer of Psalms, and got a few more weeks of the summer that we'll be covering some different psalms. And today's message is, Why Should I Trust God? I wanted to kind of get your attention with that title, Why Should I Trust God? Because sometimes we just kind of say, in fact, our Vacation Bible School this summer, that was kind of the theme. How many of you worked in Vacation Bible School? Any of the kids were in Vacation Bible School? Wasn't it trust? How did you just trust God? You did some kind of goofy little thingamajigger. How was it? Trust God. Yeah. I knew it was kind of goofy, but that was real goofy. But anyway, it was. I love seeing adults be goofy, don't you? Anyway. That was a joy to watch them at Vacation Bible School. But that was kind of the theme with the kids. And over and over for the several days, everything we did, we kept coming back to trust God. And so that's what this psalm is about, and that's what this sermon is about today. So I want to talk for a second before we really dig down into it. I want to talk for a second about that word, trust. I actually did some kind of some Googling and looking at some definitions and so forth, and so I kind of assimilated a couple of thoughts here on that word trust. And so the first one is reliance on the truth, character, integrity, strength, and surety of someone or something. I'm going to read that again. Reliance on the truth, character, integrity, strength, and surety of someone or something. And the second definition that I put together, confident expectation of something. Confident expectation of something. And kind of another way of saying that is hope. Now, I was a friend of mine a few years ago. Somebody said something about, I hope this or I hope that. And he said, no, we're Christians. We're not supposed to hope. And I said, we hope, but our hope is different than the world's. The world's hope is this whimsical, like I hope I don't get a speeding ticket, or I hope that that new restaurant is good, or I hope that I get a promotion at work, or I hope that I stumble onto, you know, a bag full of money or whatever. And those are these whimsical kind of hope thing. But the hope that we have as Christians is much different. It's based on the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want us to understand that hope is not a bad thing when we are hoping with that foundation. Now, I got to thinking different. I started thinking about, actually, I almost, one of our little children in our deal almost took, I was going to use a bill this morning, and I had, you know, one of you parents know that it was your child that took two of my bills this morning, almost didn't leave me one for this illustration. So, Christy, yeah, you knew it was you, girl. Okay. But anyway, I love her. She's worth it. So on our money, it says what? In God we trust. And I kind of actually researched that a little bit. That motto began going on our coins. Anybody know when? Anybody got a guess? Who, what? I'm not sure. When was Eisenhower president? What year? Okay. The coins started having that money, that in God we trust, on the coins in 1864. Does that surprise you? The paper currency is in 1957. That's the one I'd always heard. We started putting it on it in the 50s. But that was just the paper. It's been on our coins since 1864. I better put this up before another one of your children can take it from me. And then the first time that was contested, we know that we now live in the politically correct age, and so that was contested in 1970 was the first time that was went through the court system and so forth. So even in our money, our currency in the U.S., we have this motto, "In God We Trust." And if truth be told, really, church, what does our country really trust? For the most part, we really trust the buck rather than the God that we're mentioning on the buck. I mean, that's really what we trust more than anything, if we were really to get serious and get honest with ourselves. So I started thinking, well, what do I trust? What have I, and I'm besides God, but just in general, what do I trust? And the first thing that I came up with that I have trusted, and this, some of these were good trust and some of them weren't. All right, that was in 2011, so that was 3 years ago. Now, Alan has skydived, and a few of you others have skydived. At that moment, Alan, the goggles feel like that they're about 4 inches embedded into your face, don't they? They feel like they're going to blow right through your face. And but it took all the wrinkles out of my face and put them all up on my head. I don't know what that was about. If I had hair, you wouldn't see that. But I had met that guy like 5 minutes earlier, and then he straps himself to me, And we jump out of an airplane at 10,500 feet, and I'm counting on this guy knowing what he's doing, those straps holding up, and then this little bed sheet that's going to pop out of that backpack. What a moron am I. What do we put our trust in? Now, the only reason I did that, and you've heard that, the only reason I did that is because I love my daughter, and don't ever ask me to do that again. Where are you at? Don't ever ask me to do that again, because it ain't happening ever again. And then another thing I got to thinking about, and how many of you have ridden our elevator? All right. It's probably been longer than I was thinking. I was going to say a couple of years. It's probably been 4 or 5 years ago. We started having trouble with our elevator. I mean, all the time. And we have a maintenance guy that comes, I think, is it monthly? Pat, Jackie, is it monthly they come? Yeah, basically. They kind of come check the little box and go, yeah, I inspected this. But anyway, we pay for a service, and they come and they inspect it, make sure it's all, you know, greased up and all that stuff. Well, anyway, and they do maintenance if it breaks down, and it was breaking down all the time. I mean, people were getting stuck in it all the time. And they came and they started by adjusting this and adjusting, you know, taking this little part and replacing it, and then, okay, we got you fixed up. Now, as soon as they walk, you know, drive out of the parking lot, it'd break again. And that went on for months, not days or weeks, but that went on for months. They would come, and finally, sometimes I get stern. And I just, after months of that, I just said, I want everything that can be replaced on that replaced. Everything. I'm tired of our people getting stuck in the elevator. I just got kind of firm with the guy. And I think everything that had a little shiny light or something, they replaced it all. And it's been doing better. But it still kind of has that, you know, kind of, you know, bump and everything. So, and we've had, and I won't mention this name, but we've had, back when it was going through those problems, we had a staff member that was in need of a restroom that got stuck in the elevator. And me and one of the other staff members weren't very nice because we stood down at the bottom and looked up at them and laughed. And that wasn't very nice. It wasn't very Christian of us at all. But we trust that elevator. I mean, we trust it. And sometimes I wonder. But it's doing better. In the last few years, it's done better. Well, I got to thinking other things that I trust. Now, my wife, I have permission, anytime I mention Cheryl's name, I always get the blessing, you know. And, we got another preacher's wife over here. Did you get the blessing? No, you lived on the wild side, baby. All right. Well, I know better. But anyway, I have my wife's blessing. But, well, she likes to read about different things and, you know, different vitamins and supplements and health kind of stuff. She's constantly reading that kind of stuff, and she really doesn't know a whole lot about it. Well, I have just placed myself in her hands. And if she tells me to put it in my mouth and swallow it, I just put it in my mouth and swallow it. This will be good for you. And I told her that, and she also takes care of all of our finances and our taxes and all that stuff. And I told her the other day, I said, man, you could bust us and you could kill me anytime you wanted to. So I just want to say, if I just like suddenly hadn't been sick or anything and I dropped dead, do an autopsy because I put stuff in my mouth. I have no idea what it is. It started out, I had these little boxes in this Monday, Tuesday, and I'd, you know, you could put a couple of little tablets in there and stuff, and I'd take those, and then we progressed. And so here's where I am now. We have progressed. Now one little box won't hold them all, so I have to have an AM and a PM every day of the week. Now, let me just go through a few things that I've got in here. I have a turmeric, which, anybody know turmeric? Turmeric is another way I think you can pronounce it. That's for inflammation. So when I'm inflamed, I guess I take one of those. I'm not going to pull all those out of there, but they're all in there. I have a multivitamin. I have a cinnamon. 2 cinnamon pills a day. That's blood sugar control. I have a niacin. That's for triglycerides. I don't even know what that is. I mean, it's something in there that gets out of whack. Fish oil, that's for heart and brain health. I need to double up that one, don't I? Fiber, that way we won't even go where there's a fiber pill there. But a nice way to say that's for colon health. And then a beta-glucan, which is for your immune support. Okay? And that's... Now, I tease about it, but on a serious note, my wife, I trust her. It's not just this whimsical trust. It's just kind of like, you know, hey, I think she's good for it. Let's pop that one, you know. I trust her because she has earned my trust. She has proven herself trustworthy. And so, I mean, literally, I just... Okay, you want me to take that? How many of those do I take? You know, and I'm filling up my deal. How many of those do I take again? And I just take whatever she tells me because I know she has my best interest at heart, and I know that she has proven herself to be trustworthy. So I want us to talk a little bit, and that was shifting, you know, now. So I want us to think that, you know, some people in our lives, and this is kind of a side note, getting a little bit off topic, but I want to mention this. Trust is a precious thing. Trust is a precious thing. There's a scripture that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I want to tell you, when you know people I won't use the word lie. I don't think, you know, people, a lot of people intentionally will lie. They just, that we promise things. We promise things we can't deliver because we don't want to say no. And so, I've had that conversation with some of the young people that have come through our church on the staff, that college students that come and help us and so forth, and I've seen that kind of issue in their lives, and I've pulled them in my office, and I said, look, your reputation, your integrity, it's all you got. And when you tell somebody something, do it. And no is an acceptable answer. If somebody says, hey, can you do this? You know, it's okay to say no, but what we tend to do is we say yes and then we don't deliver. Trust is a precious thing. Integrity is a precious thing. And so that was a side note. It really, really kind of got a little bit off topic, but now I want to shift back to the Lord, shift back to God. And I want to walk through 4 different things here. There's something that we should know about trust. And the first thing is that trust involves risk. Now, and I'll go back to my example with Cheryl. When I pop those things in my mouth, I'm risking something. I mean, Cheryl's not going to do that, but we, you know, if you watch TV, you know, watch these little murder mysteries, you know, and so-and-so, well, he was a pediatrician, and suddenly his wife, you know, just got sick and died. And so people, you know, there's sin in the world. There's evil in the world. So there's a certain amount of trust that I have with Cheryl, and it involves risk. Because if there was no risk to trust, it wouldn't be trust. Are you hearing me? If it was a sure thing, it wouldn't be trust. And I've used this example before, but it really resonated with me, so I'm going to use it again if you missed it. But you know I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. God bless me. Please pray for me. But I like to watch the Cowboys. And if they come on at noon, you know, and I'm preaching till 12:45 something, you know, pushing 1 o'clock or whatever, I'll put it on DVR. I'll record it. And you know, if somebody's talking about it at lunch, I'm like, la 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 la. You know, I don't want to hear about it. And so when I get home, it's like I'm watching it for the thing. Well, if someone accidentally, oh, man, the Cowboys got beat by 2 points today, you know, and I hear that, and you know it, it's like it takes all the fun out of watching it because I know what's going to happen. Or if I know, oh, they kicked the last-minute field goal and won, then you can kick back and, you know, in the tense moments, you can go, oh, they got this thing covered. As I know they already kicked a field goal in the last, you know, 30 seconds, so I can just relax. See, there's no trust in that. So trust, by nature, involves risk. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us and speaks, that whole chapter speaks to the issue of faith. But it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Someone or something has earned our trust, and we're willing to take the risk because we trust that person. They have earned that trust. Second thing is, we trust God because He has proven Himself faithful. He has proven Himself faithful. You know that I used to backpack. That's another one of those things that has gone by the way of skydiving. It's in my past. I have fond memories of my backpacking days. But one of the things I learned the very first backpacking trip that I took, we were learning. It was a brand new adventure. We were learning, and I didn't know where. I mean, I just followed the guy in front of me. I didn't plan the trip. I didn't know what trail we were going on. I didn't know where our campsite was. We were up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere and could literally die, and I just was just following the guy in front of me. I trusted the guy who planned the trip. But then along the way, we started running into these mounds of rocks. Go ahead and show, this is what they look like. That you'll see those up in the mountains. You'll see those along trails, and they call those cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S, cairns. And you will see those along the trail. And what people have done over the years that know the trail, and sometimes it might be a ranger, a park ranger, or it could have just been hikers that did that. But they build those cairns along the way. And that, see how tall that is? When that area up there is on a plateau, in the winter they get a lot of snow. And so it could be several feet of snow there, but the top of that cairn should be high enough where you can still, even if you're hiking in the snow, you can still follow the cairn. Someone has been that way before and has mapped the way, and they have given you something that's trustworthy to follow. Joshua 4, God did something similar to that when the people of Israel are coming into the promised land. They couldn't cross the Jordan River. It was too high, and it was too swift. And they had the whole nation of Israel that needed to cross it and come into the promised land. So God, we think that, you know, because they didn't do this in, Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston didn't part the Jordan River. He just parted the Red Sea. We know that, right? That's what we mostly know. But did you know that God actually parted another body of water? It's in Joshua. It talks about Joshua where he parted the Jordan River. The nation of Israel crossed the river into the promised land. Now, what God told Joshua to do is he told him to get all the different nations together and each one of them to erect these standing stones where they crossed. And when he said, why are we going to do this? He said, well, when your children come back here and their children's children and so on and so forth, when they come back and they see these stones, you can tell them this is where God was faithful and brought us into the promised land. This is where he did something miraculous and allowed us to cross over this river into the promised land, these standing stones. God has proven himself to us. I know he's proven himself to me over and over and over. There are standing stones in my life that I can look to and go, you know what? God didn't fail me then, and he won't fail me now. Do you have standing stones in your life? God has proven himself faithful. The result, number three, the result of not trusting God is self-centeredness, which produces brokenness. If you're not trusting God, who are you trusting? Yourself. I got it. In other words, God, I'll let you know if I need you. I got this one. The result of not trusting God is self-centeredness, which produces brokenness. This was dramatically displayed for me this week, Friday, as a matter of fact. Cheryl is... has been, and it's still kind of they're testing the waters. It's with this new program. I don't know if you've heard of CASA. Have you heard of CASA? It is a child advocate. Hello. There it came back. What is it again? There we go. Court-appointed special advocate, right? Court-appointed special advocate. And what it is for children who are in the CPS system. That's such a big system. Some of you have worked in that system. It's such a big system, and quite frankly, it's broken. And these kids can slip through the cracks, and there's no one there to make sure that they're being taken care of, make sure that their needs are being considered, and so on and so forth. So this CASA is a volunteer organization that comes in alongside of CPS and makes sure these children are not falling through the cracks. Well, Cheryl has been assigned three siblings, a 13-year-old girl and a 6- and a 7-year-old boy. I won't go into all the details, but it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. Beyond explanation mess. And so the trial court was Friday, and trying to determine, should this 13-year-old girl, can she go back to be with her mom? She wants to be with her mom. She loves her mom. Her mom loves her. Unfortunately, her mom is a drug addict. And has been in and out of prison and so on. And she's not gotten her life straight. She's still a mess. This little girl is in a facility away from mom right now, has been for 6 months. They're trying to determine should she go back. It's ugly. I mean, the brokenness that's all around us, and we don't see it. We don't see it. This little girl is 13. She is sexually active. Her mom sneaks drugs into this facility for her, to her, sneaks them into her so that she can have some drugs while she's in the facility. And the mom and the dad are, you know, they're apart and they're angry, and they just feel like the system is against them, and they, you know, won't let, and so what do you do? I mean, it was just a mess. It was just a mess. And do I need to go to this, Artis? Okay. Y'all still hear me? Okay. Everybody awake? All right. That's always a plus. So, man, when we don't trust God and we begin to trust ourselves and we try to do things in our own power, we just make a mess of it. And I see it all the time, but I don't see it quite that dramatically. It was just right there. It was just painted in a little 20-minute court date, just reading the stuff and reading the stuff that's gone on. And this lady, the mom, they'll say, go get a drug test. You have to go get a drug test. And she'll sneak. Now, this is gross. I'll try to clean it up a little bit. But the urine. She'll borrow urine from someone else and sneak that and somehow get that into the sample she'll turn back. Sometimes they take hair follicles, and she'll have a hair follicle from someone else that she have in her pocket or whatever. And the judge ended up ruling and said, mom and daughter, after all this came out in court, the judge said, mom and daughter, if you go today and you both pass a drug test, 13-year-old, she's drug tested. If you both pass a drug test today, within a couple of weeks, we'll let you come back on a monitored trial. And as soon as, and of course, I'm in the back going, no, don't do it. I mean, I didn't do that, but that's what I'm thinking. And as soon as the court was dismissed, we walked outside. I'm just kind of observing, just there. We walk outside into the foyer. And mom is the representative saying, we need to go get this drug test. Let's go get the drug test. And she's like, I need to stop and make a quick stop over here. I've got a blah, 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 and everything. And I'm going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, she can't pass the drug test. Not trusting God produces self-centeredness, which produces brokenness. It's all around us. Brokenness all around us. People need Jesus all around us. We should, church, we have the solution. We have the Redeemer. We should be shouting hope from the housetops. And I'm just going to get bold and tell you, we should be ashamed of ourselves if we're not. We should be ashamed of ourselves if we're keeping our faith to ourselves. Because we have the solution. That young lady, the only hope that anybody in that courtroom has is Jesus. That's the only hope. CPS, God love them, they're doing as great a job as they can do. I admire them for the work they do. But they can't fix these things. They're just trying to juggle the pieces. The only chance that any of those people had was Jesus. And we know it. So the result of not trusting Jesus is self-centeredness, which produces brokenness. Number four, the result of trusting God is peace, resting in His will. Peace, resting in His will. It doesn't mean life is perfect. Trusting God does not mean life is perfect. But Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." What does that say? He knows we're going to be weary and burdened. Amen. He knows. He knows. And he's wooing us unto Himself. And He's saying, "Come. Come to me. If you're weary and burdened, come to me." And that's what I don't have the relationship with that young lady that I wish I did. I wish I had could speak into her life and say, "Young lady, you need Jesus. He loves you. He wants you to come to Him." She's a mess and she needs Jesus. Last 2 weeks ago, thank you for letting me be out next week. Last week, by the way, got some needed rest. But the week before that, I had talked about a psalm that I had read and made notes in my Bible the night before Jay was killed. And I had this Psalm 25. So that was in September of 2000. Okay, I have it. Can you flip it up there, Carlton? I don't know if you can see it, but that's an actual copy of this of my study Bible, with some notes I had written. And the verses that are highlighted there are the verses I read today. And my note up there, if you can't read it, it says March the 14th, 2001. So this was, I was in the process you've kind of heard my story probably where left my computer job and it's been a year and a half or so there seeking the Lord to go into ministry. And it was a crazy and scary as all get out time in our lives. And then Jay was killed and I was just, our world was just really volatile right then. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things changing in me and in our family and so forth. Well, then, so Jay was killed in September. The next March, I read this psalm. And the note says, "I am youth minister in Sweetwater. I spent just a few months, two or three months, as an interim just because they needed me to. That was not really the call of my heart, but they needed me there, so I did it. I was youth minister in Sweetwater for a few months, and it says I'm youth minister in Sweetwater, waiting for my first appointment, confused but trusting. Confused but trusting." That was my future was so unknown for Cheryl and the girls and I. We had no clue what tomorrow was going to bring. We didn't know how we were going to make a living. We didn't know where we'd be living. We didn't know where we were going to be working. Nothing. I was waiting for an appointment as a pastor. I was confused, but I was trusting. Now, and you've heard me say this if you've been here, you, this church, are the answer to our prayers. God brought you when we trusted Him. I wanted with all my heart to just be a pastor, to just love people, to just share the good news of Jesus with people. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't care about money or any of those kinds of things. I just wanted an opportunity to love on people on behalf of Christ. And man, during that year and a half or so there, and it wasn't happening, and you've heard me say there was times that I was scolding God, just scolding him, because where are you, God? I've trusted you here. And that's kind of that place I was at when I read this psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. I was confused, but I was trusting him. Trust is a risk. Trust is a risk. And I just want to tell you that God is faithful. He never promised us an easy life, but he promised to walk with us. And he is faithful. He doesn't abandon us. He walks with us through the valley. And he walks with us on the mountaintops as well. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. You know, we come today for the opportunity to partake of this meal. And you've heard me say before, but I was raised in a tradition, the Methodist Church. I was raised in the Methodist Church, and we took communion every month. And as a kid growing up, you know, you're carving your initials in the back of the pew or crawling under the pew, or my dad would taking me out to the car to spank my rear end, something. That was church to me when I was a kid. He really did do that, by the way, many times. Anybody else got their rear end weared out in the car, out in the parking lot? All the men, yep. Do you resent it? Does anybody? I don't resent that, because my daddy loved me, but he wore me out, boy. But that was church to me, and taking communion had just become. We're just going to be 15 minutes late to lunch. That's all it really meant to me, and I hate to say that. I'm really ashamed to say that. But when I went on the walk to Emmaus, that's one of the things that you do on a walk to Emmaus. If you don't know about that ministry, you can talk to me about it. But they put an emphasis on communion, and for the very first time in my life, that's when really God changed my life. For the very first time in my life, I understood that this is a costly meal. It's costly. It costs the life of our Savior. And Jesus, as he's sitting around his friends that he knew would betray him and deny him, very best friends he had in the world, not his enemies, he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And they didn't really understand it, but they would. And then he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many." And he said, as you eat and as you drink this meal, he didn't give us a lot of instructions, just one simple instruction: remember me. So when we take this meal, we recognize that we come as redeemed sinners. We come as broken, redeemed sinners. This is a place of wholeness. This is a place of restoration. So we come broken and we leave transformed. So I want to just invite you to take a minute just to yourself in your own heart. Just confess your sins. Just tell Jesus you're not all that he has called you to be. There's always more. No matter where we are in our journey with Christ, there's always more. So just confess your sins to him for just a moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. As the kids are making their way back in, for communion. I'll give you this invitation. This invitation comes from the Lord. It does not come from me or from our church. The invitation is, if you repent of your sin, if you have called on Jesus as your Savior and you repent of your sin, you're welcome to come to this table and partake today. It's also okay to not come. I hope that you will come if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll feel welcome and will come. But you certainly do not have to do that. So the invitation is, if you repent of your sin and you have called on Christ as your Savior, you may come. If the praise team and the sound team and our servers would come forward, please. Christ has invited us to his table. There are 5 serving stations. The 2 on this end and the 2 on this end, you'll be given a piece of bread and you can dip the bread into the cup and partake in that way. If you would like to have the individual cups, you can come to the center aisle and be served with the individual cups. The altar rail is open. If you would like to spend some time at the altar after you have received, or you can return to your seat, come.
The the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Sing again, the name above all names.
He's the name above all names.
my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing that chorus again, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great.
The Lord has stirred your heart this morning and you want to visit with me about anything, you want me to pray with you, or if you want me to talk to you about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, come and see me as we are being dismissed. I will be around for a while. I'll be up front here. God's trustworthiness is not contingent upon your obedience. It's based on His love, goodness, and faithfulness for you. We don't have to earn God's favor. He favors you just the way you are. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and you I trust, O my God. Go and be blessed and tell someone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
He's the name above all names, worthy of my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names. He's the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great.